Welcome back to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. That's violinist Mark O'Connor, along with bassist Edgar Meyer and some traditional fiddle music. Mark O'Connor is one of today's most versatile violinists, whose music ranges from folk to bluegrass to jazz and classical. He also plays the guitar and mandolin. He's a composer and a music teacher. Mark O'Connor is in Sioux Falls for a three-day residency, which culminates in a Friday evening concert with the Augustana College Orchestra that takes place at the Orpheum Theater. He's with us from our studios at the University of Sioux Falls. And Mr. O'Connor, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you very much. It's absolutely wonderful to be here with you.
Well, I just was talking about the wide range of music that you do. What all of it has in common to me, anyway, is that it's really distinctly American. Is that true?
Yes, that's the thread that holds the whole thing together. I at first, when I started my career, people were, I think, overly concentrating on, you know, my areas in jazz and folk music and country music when I was in Nashville. And very quickly I started to observe that that I was connecting all these things like a piece of fabric or a quilt, more specifically, where I was creating like a reason to have an American school of string playing. I mean, it's not one of those things. It's really all of them combined. And American culture is informed by world culture, more so than any other country in the world. So it's a fantastic, complex idea, but I think the music brings it all home.
Now, you mentioned teaching. Now, you have your own, the O'Connor method of string teaching?
Yes, I began my string camps 20 years ago. 7,000 students have gone through them. And over the course of those years and camps, I determined that we needed to start much earlier with this kind of education for kids, because the genius of American music is a little bit technique, but it's mostly about musical language. That's where the genius lies. And it's easiest to pick up musical language when you're a child. And this music is simply so attractive and wonderful to learn for children. So that's really the impetus of my method for string playing.
So how does that differ from the traditional ways of teaching strings?
Well, one of the biggest differences is that there's a healthy dose of creativity involved in my method and in American music in general. I mean, it would be hard to be an American musician and play jazz or bluegrass or fiddle music or rock and roll or about anything really without being a creative musician, meaning that you are contributing to the repertoire and literature by composing. You can improvise, you can perform in ensemble settings and play off other musicians. And so these are the kinds of things at the beginning levels that are also much easier to pick up than simply waiting till college.
Is this something that comes out of the way that you learn to play? Does it come at all from your own experiences and what helped you in learning the music?
Yeah, oh, very much so. I mean, I had a wonderful musical background where I was playing. You mentioned I played other instruments. Just that alone is creative, the fact that a student gets to play more than one instrument. Most of the time in American music, most of its practitioners do play more than one instrument. You'd be hard-pressed to find a rock band out there where the guitar player didn't play a little bass and would sing, and they would all try the drums. Mm-hmm. So this is the kind of environment that I want strings to be in, a creative environment, as well as learning the right techniques to play well.
And you're in the middle of a three-day residency in Sioux Falls. You're working with beginning musicians, high school musicians, and the college musicians at Augustana. How do you approach the different levels of musicians? I imagine, the ones early on, they don't necessarily have the same experience playing the instrument, but is there anything that they all three, no matter who you're teaching, what they have in common?
Well, it just depends on how much, you know, classical music training they've had, having no other kind of training. I mean, that's really what I find the most. If I can bring in a student right from the very beginning, from scratch, from my method, I feel like my approach has a better, provides a better launching pad, if you will. For instance, if a person was creating, learning from my method at the beginning, they could learn how to play by reading music or by ear, both equally. Then that student has an easy track into school orchestra, if their school has one, and, you know, into certain and Beethoven, if that is the track that they so desire. But at least they have choices. I mean, right now I feel like there's so many young string players out there that have very limited choices because of their limited training. They would have to retrain or untrain. And so I deal with a lot of that. And, you know, it's good to do, and I see that at a lot of my camps. But I'm also looking forward to seeing a lot of players organically come up with a more wholly organic kind of musical training that includes creativity, tune writing, improvisation, theory, meaning, you know, you can actually, you know what a chord is and move around a chart, as well as read music really well and play in the orchestra. I think the string player should be able to do all of that.
In talking about learning to play and learning the different styles of music, Mark O'Connor, you had some great mentors when you were a young musician, including the great French jazz violinist Stefan Grappelli, who played with the legendary guitarist Django Reinhardt. How did that connection come together?
I auditioned for Stefan Grappelli when I was 17. I got the call for the guitarist in a United States tour he was doing back in 79, and I auditioned for 3 days, got the job, and he discovered that I played violin on the first official rehearsal, and from there, that point forward, he became my final mentor, true mentor. I had some wonderful teachers before Stefan, but yeah, we played at Carnegie Hall that tour, and it was amazing experience, and I owe him a lot.
Did he, what did he teach you as far as, do you feel like your violin playing changed, your musicianship changed once you worked with him and met him and played with him?
That was the beauty of Stefan Grappelli's mentoring, as well as my most significant teacher, Benny Thomason, the great fiddler from Texas. They approached me as a creative musician, not as, you know, like a Memorex image of themselves. They were teaching me their materials, but at the same time, if I had an idea or I was stylistically different from them, they really, you know, applauded that and nourished that. They didn't want me to play in their image, which is really, I think, extraordinary in our violin pedagogy times. And I would really like to have that as a central message from my pedagogy, that we're going to teach you the best renditions of these pieces that I can give you, and that's just your start. You know, like you can take this music to anywhere you want to.
Take it wherever you want and develop your own sound and your own style, and the world is your oyster.
Yeah, I think that is our present and our future, and America's led the way on that as far as creativity in music. The thing that people probably should recognize more, especially in academia, is that American music has really been powerful for the good. It's created more freedom for people and inspired people all over the world to do wonderful things. I want strings to be right in the middle of that. They were at the beginning. They were right, 400, 300, 200 years ago. They were at the beginning of the hoedown, the beginning of the blues, the beginning of ragtime and spirituals. But they should be center to our music now culturally, in every way.
Well, Mr. O'Connor, I'm sorry we're out of time, but I want to thank you so much for stopping by and talking with us on Dakota Midday.
Thank you.
That's a violinist and composer and teacher Mark O'Connor. He's in concert tomorrow evening with the Augustana College Orchestra. That's a Sioux Falls Jazz and Blues Society concert. It takes place at the Orpheum Theater. Begins at 8 o'clock. For tickets, you can visit sfjb.org. And that's it for this edition of Dakota Midday and South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Thanks to all of our guests. Stephen Zwemke is the producer. We had assistance from Chris Loffrey. Special thanks to Keely Boltina, Charles Michael Ray, and Brian Gevick. Coming up tomorrow, it's Innovation with Kara Hetland at noon, 11 Mountain, right here on SDPB Radio. Thanks for listening. I'm Carl Gerke. Here and Now is coming up next.